It's really a privilege for me to be here again. And I thank Pastor Bob and the leadership for allowing me to come back like this. I know last year Bob said our own Per Cedergaard. And that was so nice to hear. But I feel home. I tell you, I feel home here. And that is the atmosphere also. Everyone welcome us, and we really feel home. And then we have family here also, of course. That makes it even better. I have so much to say from my heart, so we will not have time for that. But in the same time, I'm honored to have the privilege to speak almost every day here. So I will have patience not to say everything today, but also spare something for later. So today we have two meetings. And of course, it doesn't matter what I start to speak with. It's always ending up with healing anyhow. Because that is that path that the Lord has shown me to work through. As a pastor, as a local pastor, you have to preach the whole thing. But I have the privilege to go by that path that the Lord showed me all from the beginning, 1975. And God has opened doors that I'm traveling more than ever. I'm 64. So many people in my age, they slow down, but I'm speeding up. Because the Lord says, here is a door. I want you to go in there. So it's no time to look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm old. So I don't do that. And I'm so encouraged wherever I go to see how God is touching people. I never seen so many people get healed and saved as I do now. And I come filled with experience. This fall, I've been in so many countries and see what God is doing. And I'm convinced that many people here in Temecula, Murrieta, will also have a touch of the Lord this week. So have expectations, as Frank said. Frank also said something to me when we hugged here that made me so filled with joy. He said that now he was like this. We had youth meetings, and we practiced what you said last year. And we've seen healing. We did like you did, and it's happening. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, you can even say amen to that. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. That is the purpose why I'm here. I don't want to come like a so-called expert on this area. I want to spread this because it belongs to you and me. You know, many years ago, actually 1899, there was a man who founded the Salvation Army, William Booth. Someone have heard about him? Well, two people. Okay, four people. Okay, thank you. Well, Salvation Army, I think there are also in America. Yeah, okay. But the thing is, what he said just before the new century was supposed to come, 1899, he was preaching, and he said something about the greatest threats for Christianity. He saw something coming in the 1900s. And actually, it's very relevant for us today. That's why I'm telling you. He had some points here. He said, religion without the Holy Spirit is a threat to Christianity. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. salvation without being born again. Politics without God. And heaven without hell. Actually, we have all these threats today. We have churches without preaching Christ. We have very much religion without the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness without repentance will not heal my heart. Politics without God, that is a big issue. Not only in America, but in my country, Sweden, for sure. Heaven without hell. We have a threat today in Christianity that we are preaching the soft gospel without an edge. Because we want to be seeker friendly. So we don't speak about sin. We don't speak about that there is a hell. We don't speak there is an enemy. Some pastors say, well, I don't believe there is any Satan. Surprise, surprise. He is real. The church should be the powerful source for all of us. That we come Sunday morning or whenever we appear, we shall have power in our lives. This is storehouse. We come and be filled again and go out for the week more powerful than when we started. Why am I starting with this? Because I think it's important that we live by the word. There are Christians that not open their Bible. Many of us, we have like 5-6 different kinds of translations in our bookshelves, collecting dust. Start to open your Bible. God will speak to you personally. Here is power. Here is at least 35,000 promises that you and I can pull down into our lives. 35,000 promises. I want you to see what you have in Jesus Christ. I want to speak this sermon about have faith in God. Have faith in Jesus and His name. You know, there are so powerful scriptures. One of the most famous is in Mark 11. Mark 23:24, speaking about whatever we pray, believe that we have when we pray it, and we will have it. And we can remove mountains or whatever. Don't remove the mountains here in California. I love them. They are beautiful. But there are other mountains of problems, obstacles in our lives, sickness and disease and circumstances that they are big like mountains in our lives. We can remove them when we have faith in God. But I will not speak about those two scriptures. I will speak about verse 22. Because there is the source when you and I have the authority, when we have the power. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. So what God do you have? A little odd question. But who is God for you? If I have the first picture, it's not all the names of God, but it tells us something. This is different names on our God. El Shaddai, he is more than enough. He's the overflowing God. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our doctor and healer. He's Jehovah Shammah, he is always present. He is here now. Amen? When two or three come together in my name, Jesus says, I am there, present. He is always with us. He promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. Through the Holy Spirit, He is in me. I am never alone. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. But that word Shalom means also to have everything I need. Everything is at peace. To be healed. To be complete. He is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. He is my banner of victory, Jehovah Nissi. He is the one who sanctified me, Jehovah Mekadesh. Is Jehovah Tzidkenu. He is my righteousness. He is Elohim, my creator. He is the creator of universe. That is who God is. Is he this for you? Or is it something that now I need God and you put up some, God, now I have crisis. Please come and help me. Yes, of course. He wants to help you, but he wants to be the most important part of your life. The first option in your life. You know, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, first seek God and his righteousness. And then some things will come to you. No, it doesn't say like that. Then all the other things will come to you. But first seek God. He wants the first place in our lives. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, to believe in the name of Jesus. He gave the right to become the children of God. We are children of God. Children of this God. How many of you are parents? And the rest of you maybe want to be parents? Yeah. And you know, there are things to have children. There is something to raise children and to try to teach them how to behave and do stuff like we want them to do. But we can also see something of a resemblance and we see something that going from us as parents to our children. Sometimes it's interesting because if you are honest, you know some things in your personality. Perhaps you don't want to see that, but you see it anyhow. And then you see the same thing in your children. Yeah, I will not stuck up there because there are many things. But I want to come to this point that this is our Father in heaven. And we are his children. So parts of this will come also in your and my life. That makes it better to think like that. We can be like our Father. We can be like Jesus. Jesus is our big brother. Not one single amen, but it's true anyhow. when we receive salvation, it's not just to pray the prayer of salvation. But there is a place when we repent and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. We say Jesus is Lord. What that means is that He is in charge of my life. That means that I don't come to Jesus only when I have big problems. I allow Him to lead me every single day. That is to let Jesus be your Lord. Salvation can sometimes, you know, when I'm out on the streets in middle Europe, in Slovakia and Czech Republic, it's like almost like a shock. If you take picture number two, we had a meeting in one city, and we didn't have had any meetings in that city before. And they squeezed in like 175 people in a hotel hall. Not that picture, yes. And when we made an invitation for salvation, 60 people came. And I was totally sure that the interpreter said something wrong. And he thought the same. But 60 people wanted to have this. Many of them were actually Catholics, but they never heard the explanation of salvation. So we can have church without speaking of the necessary thing to be saved. Saved from what? So we have to explain what is salvation. To be born again. To be a new creature in Lord Jesus. No, please wait with that. So these people, they received Jesus as their Lord. And they were filled with joy. Salvation is the greatest miracle. It is. All of us, if we are alive, we will meet problems in our lives. Are you a human being here? You have had some problems or obstacles? Four of you? Okay. Five? Okay. Yeah, we all have obstacles and problems coming to us. And that belongs to life. This world is not fair, but God is good. Things happen. Even Christians can be cruel. And we can be injured for life if we don't treat it in the right way. I think here in California, here is a multitude of different churches. I think there are thousands of people living in bitterness and disappointment of things happening in different churches. And because they are not treating this situation in the right way, they are isolated, drawn back from the Lord and from churches, of course. Don't let it happen to you. Eventually, it can happen that people also in churches say something wrong, do something against you that they shouldn't have done. You and I, we have one option: to forgive. And there was a great silence in the church. It's a miracle when we can forgive each other. Because that is a personality from God. Amen? So you and I, we have the capacity to forgive. And when we forgive someone, we forgive totally. Not only, yes, I forgive, but I will never forget it. That is not to forgive. When we come to the Lord, and ask for forgiveness of things we have done, he take that sin and throw it behind his back in the lake of forgetfulness. There is fishing forbidden. Do you understand that picture? We try to fish something about, to get something. Oh, Lord, you know this. I did this because we live in condemnation. And the Lord said, I don't know what you're talking about. Did you see the sign? Fishing forbidden. When God forgives us, it's not more. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So when God looks at us, we are totally righteous. Like the sin did not even happen. That is how you and I also shall forgive others. Have you noticed that it's very rare to meet a perfect person? Have you met any the latest week? No. There are no perfect churches. If you go from church to church like church hopping, looking for a perfect church, I'm sorry to say, but you will not find any. And the scary thing, you will not even find a perfect pastor. Yeah, I know, it's shocking. And the scary thing, there are no perfect church members either. Oh. Don't look at me like that. We are not perfect. But the grace of God is enough for us to be totally washed clean, being righteous anyhow because of the grace of God. We have big problems. Sometimes we meet also problems when we serve people. How can I help these people? Please come with the next picture. What is this? This is a place in the central Russia. Small meeting, well, like 200 people. And the Lord says, here is some people that you have a severe problem in your heart. And 35 people responding. That's very high percentage. And you cannot help them. I don't have the power to heal them. Jesus is the healer. But I can serve them.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a little bit shocking to see all these problems. Another time you can come to a place and it's the same amount of people with cancer. So you have to attach to the Lord. You cannot come with your own power. Well, I'm quite strong, but that doesn't help me. I want to help those people to meet Jesus. So therefore, I have to connect with Jesus every single day. I need him more and more. I've been saved 51 years. And when I was 25, 30, I knew every answer of any question. Very quickly, I was prepared to give it. Now when I'm 64, I know that I don't know so much. But I know also that I need Jesus more and more. I need the Holy Spirit every single day. Yeah. So we need Jesus when we serve people. Okay, take the next picture. So, yes. Sometimes it happens like this. This is Bible school in Tanzania. And we pray for people, and the Holy Spirit just came. And for 1 hour, they lay on the floor, have visions from the Lord. I think there is something, you can stop but you can change that. Okay. Stop. Yes. And God is setting them free. Many of them are healed. They're on the floor. Those people are very open for spiritual things, both good and bad. But you know, it's amazing to see what God is doing. And I just love to be there. I go there every year. The same thing's happening all the time. No, not that picture. Well, I'll give you some moments to... Well, you know, you meet people that have impossible things. And that is a big problem. And you stand there as a servant and you don't have any cure for them. But Jesus has everything. No pictures, okay? Yeah. That picture number 3 is something coming here. Suddenly in the meeting in Czech Republic, small crowd, perhaps 40, 50 people, are going from city to city and serve people. Suddenly here comes a man. You saw a glimpse of him. It didn't look like he was dressed to come to church. But anyhow, he said, he walked like this. His hips was totally destroyed. He was a Czech paratrooper. And because of all his... nice picture, but not mine. Because of all his parachuting jumps, he destroyed his hips. He said, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. But please, can you pray for me anyhow? Sure I can, said. So there was something there for him. First time in the church. He had severe problems, only like 35 years old, but he could not walk. So I just touched his hip. And then he went out in the corridor outside the hall, and I would continue in the prayer line. A pastor that should fetch me to another city, he came in the corridor when this guy came out. And he started to run. Different directions, down the stairs, up the stairs, jumping down the stairs, and jumping up the stairs to provoke this pain to come back. But he was totally healed. And this man, he was wild. It's working, it's working, it's working. Yeah, he was happy. In different cultures, people don't show their joy. They say about us Swedish people that we don't show any feelings. So we are more like, I'm very happy. I'm so happy. I cannot even explain how happy I am. Yeah. But he was jumping. He was exalted. And he runs into the meeting where I'm standing and praying for people, totally disturbing everything. But he had never been in church. He said, it's working. Look, look, I can walk. I can walk. I can jump. Yeah, of course it's working. God is real. He tried to thank me. Don't thank me. Thank the God you didn't believe in. And I asked him, do you know what atheists do when he had problems? No. He prays. Yeah. He prays. He said, Lord, if you're real, please help me. And he was filled with joy. Impossible things. For God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. He was totally, totally restored. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit and his power. And his power is available for us. So many times we try to fix things ourselves. It's a good position to come to see that I need the Holy Spirit. We pray to Father God, we pray to Jesus, but you can pray to the Holy Spirit. He is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is not a cloud or a dove. He is a person. He is God. Amen? You can pray to him. Ask him to fill you every single day. You need his power. He is your helper, the best friend you can have. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is not just a very special name. It's so special that his name is far above every other name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 speaks about this. God has given Jesus the name above every other name, that all other names shall bow down before the name of Jesus. And that is something I use every time I pray for sick people. Because all these different sicknesses and diseases, most of them have some kind of name, some kind of syndrome. And I speak to that syndrome to bow down before the name of Jesus. So we are supposed to pray according to his name, the name above our, over other names, Jesus. So who is Jesus for you? Is this some kind of formula? We pray in the name of Jesus. Yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. It's not a formula. It's a real relationship with living God. In Romans 8 and 14 it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Even if you are a daughter, you are a son of God. We are sons and daughters of God. So we have a right because of this, that he is our Father. We have the right to pray, to expect our Father to do things. And he promised us, whatever you pray in my name. Just, I'll give you an example. If you read John 14, John 15, John 16, you will see so many places in those three chapters when Jesus encouraged us to pray to Father God in his name. For example, in John 15, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you may pray whatever you want, and my Father will be honored. He will be glorified when you have your prayer request answered. It's a win-win situation. We have what we need, and God is glorified through that. So I wonder why we are not praying more. We can stand on his promise. Hallelujah. When we read the chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see so many miracles. And wherever you see a person with a need coming to Jesus, they are healed, set free. You cannot find one single person that have to leave Jesus without being healed. We are not there yet. I don't know if we ever will come to that point when everyone is healed when we pray for them. But there is a promise. As I said, I don't have all the answers. I wish that everyone I prayed for was healed, but that is not true. Personally, I pray for over 10,000 people every year. But I know that thousands of them are healed. Many of them are healed immediately. Some are healed in a process. That is the most common way healing comes, as a process. But all of us, we want it now. Come on, God, now! Because we don't have the patience to wait. But when you go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription of some medicine. Take these pills twice a day for 10 days. Okay, thank you very much, doctor. You give the doctor 10 days. Can you give the Lord, the Creator, at least 10 days? Please. Okay? Can we make a deal? I'm serious, actually, because I've seen many people lose their healing because of wrong attitudes. I know a woman, she has suffered from spinal problems for many, many years. And there was an evangelist coming, and she was actually healed. The next morning, she woke up and had pain in her spine. And she spoke out, "Oh, it didn't work. I was not healed." And spoke it out loudly. She lost her healing. We, servants, we pray by faith. You receive by faith. Sometimes even there are non-believers. They don't have any faith. We pray for children that cannot grasp these things. They have no faith, but still God is working. So never tell anyone, "You don't have faith enough." Never. Never say that to anyone. You don't know what is in another person. But you have a responsibility yourself to have faith. I pray for Hindus, they are healed. I pray for Muslims, they are healed. I pray for people in the jungle, they are healed. I love to pray for babies. They don't have any faith, but they are healed. We have to connect with the living God. Faith is a substance. It's real. Now faith is, says in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for, not seen. Many even Christians say, "Well, when I see a miracle, then I believe." My friend, when you see it, you don't have to have faith. You know it. But faith is to know it before you see it. Ephesians 1 speaks about that we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power is working in you and me. Okay, cool, very cool. No, it's not cool. It's fantastic. I'm not speaking about religion. I'm speaking about living God who let His superior power work in you and me. And Colossians 1:27 says, "Jesus Christ in me is the hope of glory for those that do not believe." You and I walking around with the hope of glory. Yeah. I mean, it's worth at least one hallelujah. And Jesus delegate the authority to his disciples. Exousia, the Greek word, delegated authority. Against all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. He delegated that to us as believers, not only the first church. Some of you have heard it. Oh, that was the first church. Only the disciples, the apostles. But you are Christians that believe in the Word of God. Therefore, you read the Bible. And the Bible says in Luke 10 that it was 70 more disciples had the same authority. He gives to us today the same authority to carry the supernatural power from the Lord to other people. And it says in Matthew 10 and 8, freely you received, freely you can give. So by faith, I received the anointing to pray for sick people. And I freely give that to others. That's why I was so happy when Frank told me what's happening now in the youth group. That is the result I am longing for. That people take this and start to do it. We have heard so many preachings during all the years. Yeah, I've heard that. And we stand in the same position without growing. Start to do something. It's like dare to lift your feet outside your box. It's like walking on water. Yes, it is. But don't look at the circumstances. Look at Jesus. That was what Peter did. He lifted his feet outside the boat. He knew everything about water, fishing, and everything. And he started to walk on water because Jesus said, come. And he walked on water until he was looking at the circumstances. What am I doing? No, this is not working. And he started to sink. Help! And Jesus came immediately. He did not pull him under the water, back the boat. No, he lifted him up on the water. Amen? And they walked together on the water to the boat. And some sermons is about the bad faith of Peter, but that is totally the opposite. You should preach about the bad faith of these other disciples in the boat. Oh, Peter, typically Peter. But he is the only one that walked on water except Jesus. I like Peter. Sometimes he was in that ditch, sometimes in the other ditch. And I can feel I have some similarities sometimes. But he did something, and I like that. When are we starting to do the things? Maybe the first time. Everything is sometimes the first time we try to do it. Give me the next picture. Can you see the eyes of this girl? When the power of the Lord is touching her, she had scoliosis. And it was a difference of 4 centimeters in her legs because of the crooked spine. And she feels how the power of the Lord touching from the neck all the way down, and someone is pulling the leg out. I did not. She's totally healed. Just a few seconds. Hallelujah. The next picture. This mother came with this baby, very high fever and pneumonia. And you can ask, why did she bring the baby to church when it was so sick? Because the mother had faith for healing of the baby. Within 10 minutes, all fever was gone. And the next morning, there were no pneumonia. Totally healed. Next picture. This girl came and she has severe pain in her ear and her head. And she started to cry. And I asked, why are you crying?
because all pain left me. It's so wonderful to pray for children. This is something we have, you and I. We can serve. Be a vessel for the Lord. We are not the healers. Jesus is. But you and I, we are the vessels to bring it to people. Next picture. This is from America. Vancouver, Washington. Well, you know, that city is so special. She was laying in coma in the hospital. She was a backsliding Christian, had a very bad life. We were praying for her, and she woke up when we were praying for her in the hospital. She was shocked that we were there praying for her. Something happened with her. She came back to the Lord. And last year when we were up there, she was baptized, coming back to the Lord, and now is a very devoted Christian and member in the church. Hallelujah. Next picture. This is in a rehab center in St. Petersburg, Russia. All these guys, except one special guy there in the middle, they have hepatitis C. Most of them have HIV and AIDS. If you think you have problems, guess if they have problems. But they have come to this rehab, the only way for them to survive. And all of them have received Jesus. And I spend 3-4 hours with them and praying for them and giving them hope. Many of the people with HIV and hepatitis C are actually getting healed. It's impossible, the doctors say, yeah, but Jesus says everything is possible. Next picture. You see that girl in the green dress, she looking happy, looking perfect, but she have AIDS and she have cancer. Her sister brought her for the first time to a church meeting. She received Jesus for salvation. And she felt how power came into her. I don't know what happened, but I know Jesus touched her and she looking so happy. And she was overwhelmed. You see, the other lady, she's dying in cancer. She came also to that meeting and was saved. I continue to pray for her. I don't know what happened, but I know she received Jesus. We're meeting severe problems, but Jesus can fill us. Next picture. In an ordinary Sunday meeting 2 weeks ago now in Yerevan, Armenia, 50 people received salvation. In a Sunday morning service. How come? Because church members brought unsaved people to church. Hallelujah. Next. That lady, she was saved in that Sunday morning. Then God spoke. Here is someone that have a very special heart disease. Your valves are not functioning, so it's leaking blood. Therefore, there is not sufficient power in your heart. That was exactly her need. So she came first time to this meeting, she was saved, and God touched her. The arrhythmia disappeared immediately when we prayed for her. This boy, he was, one ear was totally deaf from birth. While we were praying, God opened the ear. Hallelujah. Next picture. Well, just a picture to show that God has a purpose for us to go to all nations. Well, here in California, you have all nations also living here. So it's not only to be a missionary in some other country. We are stretching out to people. Amen? And the last picture here, what is this? Have expectations in God. You and I, we shall be like those cats. You know, there are 20 cats here. They have expectations. You see in that boat, there are a bucket of sardines, small fishes. And the cats are... They are sitting there with expectations. How much expectation do you have on the Lord? All His promises. Don't be like that cat in the right corner. No, I don't think He will do anything for me. Don't be like that cat. Jesus loves you. Amen. And the time is over for me now, this meeting. Almost like a surprise. That's something with the time issue here in America. No, not only in America. I think it's something with me. But you know, we will not have all the time for serving you in prayer now. But please, come back tonight. Please come. If you have a need. By any chance, if you cannot come, of course, I will spend some moment to pray. But we cannot have long prayer lines now. We don't have the time. But I want to ask you, if you are here this morning, if you're not saved, this is a perfect opportunity to receive salvation. Anyone that wants to receive Jesus for salvation? You know, I ask this question wherever I am, even if it's only church people. Because if you know that the preacher will ask that question, you can also very boldly bring unsaved people to church. Hallelujah. A good thought. Okay, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, that you are the same today. What you did when we read in the Gospels, you want to do today. We praise you, Lord, that your power is available for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for every single person here that you will open our hearts. Yes. That bring us closer to you. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will touch people around this church now and restore things, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, you have a plan for this day, for the next meeting, and for tonight's healing meeting. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to open up our hearts for expectations. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love that surrounds every single person.